This is the Boston Men's Group Podcast. If you're ready to take down your guard, be a role model for positive masculinity, and build a legacy of greatness, welcome to the tribe.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Boston Men's Group Podcast. My name is Megan Marini, and I'm really excited to have Eric Chasen with us today. He is an author. His book's coming out in just a few months now. And he is a coach, a success coach, and he's a self-made millionaire with a really fabulous story of triumph and working through challenge. And he's hopping on today with us to share his 7 steps to winning at business and anything. So thank you so much for joining us, Eric. We're honored and thrilled to have you.
Megan, thank you very much for inviting me on, for the invitation on. Thank you.
Yeah. We're excited to have you as a member as well.
Thank you.
Like high level, what is sort of a snapshot of the 7 steps to winning at business or anything?
Yeah. So the 7 steps to winning at business, life, or anything is really, I was asked about, what are some cornerstones for success? And it goes sort of hand in hand with my book that's coming out, the Thank You for Mentioning. You know, really what it is simple steps that, whatever compartment of your life that you're in, be it at home, be it at work, be it in relationships, these are sort of principles, simple principles that I live by that's worked really well for me, at times, depending on the opportunity. And, sometimes that's all I had to bring to the party was these, simple little steps. So they've served me really well, and I'm really happy to share them. And people can, try them out and see how it works for them.
Now, I really love simple, because I feel like the way the human brain can work sometimes is we complicate. Can you talk a little about steps that you see folks taking that may have more complexity, and why you've sort of headed in this direction?
Yeah, well, it's a really, really good question. Megan, a couple things about that is, one is what you mentioned, it's simple. It's, I find that, a couple things along the way is I've, tried to keep that KISS principle there, keep it simple, smarty. And so I learned that way myself, fundamentally, and I try to remain coachable, and I find that I learn through less complex, more simple, approaches and guides. So I try to when I'm teaching or coaching, training, I try to do the same, keep it simple. So and I think people sometimes are looking for the magic solution, or the magic pill. The quick solution. And if it is simple, they think it may not be effective. That it must have to have something to do with technology or some kind of complex hack secret formula or some kind of complex solution. And the reality is, when we're talking about interacting with people and needs, et cetera, it's pretty simple. And the more basic and simple you keep it, oftentimes the more effective it is meeting people's needs. That is
right. Well, it's easier to remember to implement, to remember to do, and to access when you're sort of in a high stress moment. Like you're like, oh yeah, that simple thing, right? So why don't we jump into the 7 steps?
The overview, the main. There's no real particular order, so I don't want to insinuate that, but it starts with the intangibles. The intangibles, sometimes they're called soft skills. I like to refer to them as the essential intangibles, because oftentimes, you can tell when somebody has if they're in good supply or short supply. And what I'm talking about for intangibles is really, attitude, commitment, dedication, enthusiasm, and hard work, to name a few. And when those things are in short supply, it's pretty evident. And when they're in plentiful, typically those intangibles lead to tangible things, such as more measurable things like performance and results. So it's those things have to be in gear before we can hope for seeing the tangible results. And what I like to think of them as, because as I said earlier, sometimes that's all I had to bring to the table, which was the attitude, the belief, the commitment, dedication, that they oftentimes can be, you can be competing against somebody, whether it's internally or whether it's in another competitive arena that is more resourced than you, is more educated than you. It wasn't hard for me to find that, is faster, stronger, better looking, but the whole list. But the great equalizer really can be those intangibles and those soft skills when those are brought to the table. So as I continue, you'll see that all of these are really sort of soft skills, and that's the intangible sort of encompasses them all. I just named a handful. Another big competitive advantage these days, and this is called number two on the no particular order, 7 steps, responsiveness is a huge competitive advantage. And this could be in any endeavor, whether it's, I'm talking, typically this is business, life, or anything. Responsiveness is the expectations around it today are different than they were even 10 years ago. Somebody sends an email to you today meaning, 2020, that's, we all know that everybody's on their smartphones, as much as it doing anything else, and they get emails on there. So to respond to somebody a day or two later might have been okay, maybe, 10, 15 years ago. Now it's, the exact opposite of fast and nimble. It's slow and being considered poor in terms of your service and responsiveness. So the expectations today in this age are real time. So even if you don't have a complete answer for whoever, a client, a prospect, a colleague, you could even just drop them a quick note and saying, "Hey, I'm on it. Thanks for the note. I'm on it."
So I loved this.
And responsiveness, by the way, I found this in business is really a competitive. If you are fast and nimble and responsive, that's already you're at an advantage, because a lot of people, for whatever reason, aren't. That has been my experience. Another one that I really like is, and even saying it, I can't help but do it, and that's smiling. Mm. When I was on the phones as a sales agent in, one of the two verticals that I worked in, they suggested putting a mirror in front of you when you're on the phone talking. So, because people, the prospect that you're looking to sell to or in any case engage with, they can feel that, even if they can't see you like you and I can, they can feel that smile over the phone. This was before video technology was big when I was on the phone. So smiling was essential, and it's smile brings up your day, and smiling brings up anybody's day you encounter, whether that's, the person in the coffee shop, or whether it's your boss, or whether it's, your colleague or spouse. Smiling is just a natural, and a lot of people think, is it phony to smile all the time if I feel like crap? No, because the smile, you don't need to be, the smile itself will bring up your day. You don't have to have a good day. So in other words, even if you smile, it's like a natural, contagious.
Well, it increases the endorphins too. So you're actually helping, dopamine, serotonin. You actually will feel better yourself. So I think that probably one of the critiques might be something like, "Oh, fake it till you make it," and this whole like inauthentic conversation around just pushing a smile out to make other people happy. But if you kind of reel it in a little closer and say, "No, like I'm going to own my own happiness," and
well said,
come whatever may, like I'm gonna, take responsibility, if you will, for my own happiness and shine a little more brightly today, even though I'm going through something heavy. Like that to me is leadership.
I like to say you don't need a reason to smile. The smile alone will give you the reason.
I love that. Yay. Cool. That quote's going out. We're going to use that.
along the similar lines, and again, in no particular order, something that's been a real lost art out there is manners, actually, how we interact with people, the pleases and the thank yous, and your welcome has been replaced with have a good one, and that they don't teach that in manners 101. So again, this is about winning in every corner of your life, each compartment, whether it be at work or at home or again, and manners was really distance you from the pack. You know, manners helps you stand out in a good way, because I'm not sure whether people didn't learn them or whether they just don't think it's like cool to use manners, but you know, the pleases and the thank yous go a long way again in differentiating you from everybody else that's sort of like lax with them. You know, a simple thing of, you know, something that doesn't cost any money and is being nice to people, from holding doors to the humility and grace of being nice and kind to people is a big differentiator today, I think. You know, a lot of things, whether it be around work or otherwise, this has to do with being mindful and being aware of self and being aware of others. And, you know, something that's low to no cost, but high in dividends for you and high in dividends for anybody you encounter, is just simply being kind and nice to people. So that's critical enough that I included that in the 7 steps. Because I believe that being nice should be the default mode, not, you know, my life and my day and my troubles are more important than the person I bump into on the street. Okay. You know, it's, so the default should be not, grouchy, poor me. The default should be nice, kind me. So that's my take on that. The last two kind of go together, Megan, and that's it's around communication as a top area. You know, there's a saying out there, and as I tell people, you don't have to take my word for it. You can put into any search engine the importance of communication and see quotes from people like Warren Buffett, Richard Branson, Michael Dell, where they're talking about, if you want to increase your value in a marketplace or any place, it's through increase your interpersonal communication skills. Mm-hmm. So whether that's, you know, electronic communication, which we do a lot of these days, or, you know, any other type of communication over the phone, you know, get better at it, which leads me to the number one communication skill that oftentimes is neglected, and that's listening, listening actively. So it's such a gift to give somebody to be present when they are talking to you. And I think a couple of the common pitfalls with listening is we don't listen very long. We interrupt others, and we're all guilty of that, because we're like, oh, I don't want to forget that, or I want to make sure I get that point in there. So we interrupt. And the other one is being distracted. I was talking a little bit earlier when we talked about, you know, the technology and the smartphones. We're distracted. We're either looking at our phone or thinking about what we're going to say next. And that's not being fully present. So the real gift you can give somebody and the dividends that can be paid to you and to them is by being a really attentive, present listener. And that's, communication is important, and listening is, number one on the communication skill list.
It's great.
So that's the 7.
I love it.
In no particular order.
So what would you say to someone who sort of hasn't really spent a lot of time looking at, I think you mentioned the ego under to be nicer, right? Yeah. Where it's like, it just takes a moment to say, like, I loved how you said it. Like, this isn't about me. This is actually about being nice as a default. Like, a default setting is to be nice rather than sort of be caught up in your own agenda. And what would you say to someone that sort of hasn't really had to think about that yet? Like, they've, you know, they're like, well, I was, you know, captain of the football team and everybody loves me and I'm good. It doesn't matter if I don't have to be nice to everybody. I can be tough and people expect me to be tough, and I'm the dad, and, you know, people that are sort of kind of wound up in that sense that haven't really taken the opportunity to unravel that and say, it might actually feel good to be nice as well as, you know, like you say, like, you know, have a better exchange with everyone.
Well, I think you make a couple of good points. One, Megan, is, and ask a really good question. And one is the, I think number one is what, you know, what do they want to, where do they want to get to, right? I mean, if there's nothing, if they're okay with the way they are, and there's no conflict in any corners or compartments of their life, what do they call them now, containers of their life, you know, that's all well and good. You know, the one thing that people should realize that it's, you know, things such as around being nice, you know, and around, you know, mindfulness and around mindset, which is, those things are big words these days everywhere, mindfulness and mindset. There's a certain amount of grace and humility, graciousness and humility. And it's impossible for graciousness, humility, which is allows you to receive a lot of things, and a big ego cannot reside in the same space. So people have to decide, you know, are you going to go with the sort of, you know, the big ego, or are you going to be gracious and humble? Because they can't coexist together in the same, mm-hmm. on the same head, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then it comes back to really, you know, where do they want to be? You know, what do they want to do? Do they want to be the captain of the football team forever? You know, or, you know, what are they, how is their level of satisfaction in their work life? Where do they want to get to there? You know, different satisfaction in other areas of their life. And, you know, what are they willing to do from a self-improvement perspective, personal development perspective, which involves a certain amount of humility and grace. So,
yeah, that's cool. No, I think that's going to be really helpful for the guys. So let me ask you, just to bring it back a little more personally now, like, here you are, you're very successful. You have all of these great accomplishments, and now you're setting out in a new direction, and you're heading out to really help people in this new way. And I think of it as like every new stage that you're on, it's like this new platform, this new level, if you will, like in Mario Brothers, you're in a new level, you're going to hit a new challenge, and you're going to have to learn a new skill to compete with the challenge and get to the next level. And what would you say is sort of the challenge now, and what if perhaps maybe one of these seven strategies or steps, or maybe you're going to be designing another seven steps after these two that will sort of speak to what you're growing through now?
Yeah. Well, it's a good question. And it's, I think it's a matter of, as we say in coaching, kind of keeping the gremlins at bay, which is, you know, a gremlin is essentially self-doubt, or at least my gremlin self-doubt. It's basically the inner critic. Mm-hmm. It's keeping the inner critic. You know, I've been retired for more years than I had planned on being. So now it is a shift in, you know, I got to get up and work every day. If I'm going to be able to help as many people as I want to help with my book and with coaching, you know, because it's all pretty congruent, the message, you know, my story, which is my book, and my book is my story, and then the coaching that goes with it. If I'm going to help people, I have to get up and I have to show up every day in terms of work. I didn't have to do that for a bunch of years. And so I think it's, you know, that I'm not sure whether I'm going to come up with another seven steps, or, you know, the next seven steps, or maybe, you know, the next book, which might be called Thought About From Retired to Inspired. And that is around managing the self-doubt and the inner critic.
Yeah.
Well, the inner critic that manifests itself in self-doubt, actually.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, Eric, you know, how do you accomplish that? Mm-hmm. And do you have self-doubt? I don't know, because I'm human. It was actually a relief recently. It was a relief recently when I heard that successful people, the more successful people, I thought, you know, certainly more successful than me, even, are also, they're the largest candidate for these inner critics, actually, in the, what they call, as I know you've heard the term, the imposter syndrome, like, you know, the, you know, emperor's new clothes kind of thing. You know, you're going to be standing there in the middle of the room, and it's like, oh, I didn't get dressed today. Kind of, everybody's going to realize that I'm not, you know, the imposter syndrome. So it's actually, if you do have that, you're in good company, because successful people, the more successful, the more inner critic you got to battle. So maybe there's a connection there.
There is a connection. And so I just spoke on the inner critic recently, and one of my mentors said something really fabulous right before I got on. She was at a conference with one of her mentors, and she's like, I couldn't believe this woman at the level of success that she's at. She's CEO of this company. And she said, every single day, I have to walk through making mistakes all day long in front of everyone. And I fight that inner critic all day. And I just have to continue to push. And I think she's in her second year as the CEO. And it's still a learning process, right? It's like, if she ever said, you know, I can't handle not being, if she couldn't handle not being imperfect, wait, I don't know how many negatives is that. Did I say that right? So because she can handle being seen as imperfect and being seen making mistakes and having to continue on, she's resilient enough to continue to succeed. So I think what happens as someone who has struggled themselves with sort of a negative self-image and negative self-talk, and I think women have a, sort of a different way of doing it than men do in ways, but I think most certainly both do. And we're held to different standards too, like the way fathers treat sons, and like you're expected to behave in certain ways. Like women have these other criteria, you have to do this, cross your legs, like all this like noise that can really kind of take away your freedom of being and your freedom of expression, which I think is innately attached to success. It's like being able to even explore yourself in the world and say, I'm going to try this job on. If you, all you can hear is the voice of your mother, you're like, good luck. You know, and I think there's a lot of, on the opposite side of that, there's a lot of data that shows parents that really push their kids to perform do better long term, yes. Right? So they're teaching them some of these maybe hard skills that would marry well with your soft skills, is like to be disciplined, to get up on time, to make your bed in the morning, to, and I even see like the soft and the discipline together, to respond to an email in an appropriate amount of time, like these sort of behaviors that set someone apart. But it's sort of like allowing yourself to be in the field and not really be that good at something, you know, like, and not that you're not, but you're new to being an entrepreneur again. So it's like,
it's a rebirth.
It's a rebirth. And I did this recently a few years ago, and it's so great. It's so good for you mentally, physically, and spiritually, because I think you're growing your gray matter again, right? You're like, all right, I got to learn this new thing. It's so good. And I think that, I hope that retirement for most people will be as exciting and hopefully as early as yours was, but I don't know if that's what most people will have, but definitely I hope that your message gets out there and you're able to help as many people as possible. And I would like to help you do that. So tell us all a little bit about, I think first, can we access, can folks go ahead and download this, the seven steps? What are we looking for as far as your book? I know you said May, is there a website? Where can people go to get to you? And also how do you work as far as coaching? Just give us like the high level. Like
sure.
What type of
yeah, so as far as accessing the seven steps, they're accessible on my website, or they can just simply shoot me a note, and you know, I'll talk to anybody for, you know, off the bat, you know, as far as an introductory call, and see if it makes sense to work together. You know, I enjoy helping people, and I enjoy chatting with people. So
nice. Well, thanks so much, Eric, for being a guest today. I think you bring so much value, and we're just really excited to have you.
Thank you very much for the invitation and the time.
All right. So we're going to be signing out, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Boston Men's Group podcast. We have an active Facebook group, host a monthly men's group in Boston. And we offer leadership training and coaching. If you want more information, head over to bostonmensgroup.com. We welcome you to become a member and a guest on the podcast and share your story of leadership and triumph. This podcast is edited by Boston Men's Group. Music is by Raphael Crux. And this is Joe Ames. We're going to see you on the next episode.